The book of Job is really quite an amazing book. I think it needs to be more often read by ourselves to pause and consider just how great a trial that this dear man Job went through. He greatly needed counsel from God, and he got it, but not until he went quite a ways down the road and had to endure many sufferings. And Job was a righteous man. He was a man who feared God and was turning away from evil. He was a man of integrity. And yet, at times, we need to understand that God tests our integrity. He tests our faith, he tests our obedience, he tests our integrity, he puts us through situations which we feel like we are being dragged through a knot hole. And that's what was happening with dear Job. In Job chapter 38 and verse 36, it says, "Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart?" And of course, that question is being posed by God Himself to Job, who took over the conversation from a young man named Elihu. Elihu was doing a good job, by the way. Job's three friends did a miserable job. They were miserable comforters, all of them. And even though they said many things that were true, they nevertheless were not able to minister to Job in that difficult situation that he was going through. In fact, they believed that he was a hypocrite. And they believed that some terrible secret sin had been committed by him. And as a result of that, these things had come upon him when it was just the very opposite. And so we need to understand this morning our need for counsel. That's the thing I want to bring to your attention here in Sunday school, that that our God is a God who is wise in counsel. I want you to turn back to Job chapter 32. In this first verse that I shared with you, you see that God has put wisdom in the mind, that wisdom is a communicable attribute. We've been studying this for some weeks now, but I want it to be deeply impressed upon your minds that if you lack wisdom, you need to ask. You need to ask God if you lack wisdom, because that's what it says in James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. And God will give without reproach. And he'll give it because he's good as well as wise. He puts wisdom in the mind. He gives understanding to the heart. In Job chapter 32 and verses 1 to 9, it says, "So these three men," that is Job's friends who couldn't comfort him, "they ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes." If you looked at chapter 31, you would see that all through that chapter, Job posited the idea that if I have done anything wrong, then may this happen to me. You know, he's asserting his integrity all the way through this. And so the three men finally just gave up trying to answer Job, because it says here he was righteous in his own eyes. And then it says the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, to the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. And you see, that was Job's fault in all this. If there was any fault in Job through this whole book, it was that. That he justified himself more than God. It's not as though he couldn't defend his own integrity, but if you go back and look through the book of Job, you'll see that what Job's problem was is that he thought that God had become his enemy because he was going through all the things that he was going through. And it was exactly the opposite. Satan was his enemy. Satan was seeking to destroy him. Satan was the one that came to God in the first chapter of the book of Job. And here's God saying, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth. An upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." And Satan says, "Yeah, he serves. Does he serve you for nothing? I mean, if you would just simply take these all these good things that you've given to him away from him, then he will curse you to your face, God." So God said, "Okay, well, I'll give you over into his hand," but he put strict limits around it. But even with the strict limits, we have to stand amazed, don't we, at what he took from Job, which is he took his whole 10 children from him in one fell swoop, just like that. The wind came and knocked down the house that the young people were in, and they all died. And Job fell down on his face, and he said, "The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's a man of integrity. That's a man of integrity. But as things went on, Satan kept pressing. By the way, Satan has a way of continuing to press God's dear people. We need to take notice of it as a church, because even though we are small, the Lord knows what we're trying to do here. As a church, the Lord knows that we are trying to take our stand for truth here in this place. And I tell you what, it is Satan who will keep on coming and keep on trying. And you and I must understand what Job went through so that we can understand the things we go through. That's what this book is here for. And it says here in verse 3 that Elihu's wrath was aroused against Job's three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Found no answer. They couldn't figure it out. So they condemned him. Instead of giving him the benefit of the doubt, instead of waiting upon the Lord, which is what we should do, they condemned Job, and that's why they ceased speaking to him. They just said, "Oh, if he's going to be like that, if he's not going to admit his guilt in this matter, then we'll just go on and just let him go." Found no answer, but condemned Job because it says, "Now because they were years older than Elihu, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barakel the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice.'" Isn't that good? I mean, in one sense, it's not good. You think that age should speak, and older men should be wise, and oftentimes they are, and we need to pay attention to them, even as Elihu did during that whole time that these three men were speaking. But there came a time when God wanted Elihu to speak too. That ought to be encouraging to the younger men here today and those who would speak for God. Because God knows your heart and your desires and your abilities and whether you have wisdom at work in your heart. And this man, Elihu, had wisdom working in his heart. I want you to understand something here, that Job needed wisdom. And at this point in the discussion with his friends and acquaintances, he didn't think that he needed counsel from anyone else. He'd gone through a lot. I mean, he'd gone through a lot with these men in their accusations. But he wanted to hear from God. Over and over again, you hear him in crying out in his words, "Oh, that God would answer me. Oh, that God would speak." And God was going to do that, but he was going to wait just a little bit longer. And so Elihu thought, "I'm going to try to speak. And I'm not going to speak on my own behalf. I'm going to speak on God's behalf. And I'm going to try to encourage Job to wait and see the issue. How God would act in regard to all these awful things that had happened to Job." You know, it'll be our wisdom if we do the same. If we can do the same, if we can wait on the Lord, see what how He will answer in regard to the many things that are deeply distressing and concerning to us. Oh, it's so good. Look at Job chapter 36 and verses 1 to 5. Who would like to read these verses for me? Job 36, 1 to 5. Who's got it? Matt, would you read it?
"Then Elihu continued and said, 'Wait for me a little, and I will show you that there is yet more to be said in God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty, but does not despise any. He is mighty in strength of understanding.'"
Yeah, very good. Thank you for that, Matt. Now, what do you think that Job wanted more than anything else in this situation? Can you tell me? What do you think he wanted more than anything else? That's exactly right. He wanted God to answer him and to explain these things to him, what had happened to him. You know, why it had seemed that God had become his enemy, why he was being torn apart, which was very hard for him because he knew his own heart, and he knew how good God had been to him. He knew how good God had been to him all the years before that. And, you know, he was going to get, eventually, some of the answers that he was looking for in regard to some of these questions. But God knew that Job, of all people, had things to learn. You would think that if he was one of the most righteous men in all the earth, there was none like him. God, none like him. That he wouldn't have anything to learn. But he did. He did. And you and I do too, no matter how smart we are. No matter how wise we are in terms of the things we've learned. We need to understand we still have things to learn from God and about God. And God knew that Job needed the wisdom of his counsel more even than the reasons that these things had happened to him. Now, that was a part of it.
Can you say that again?
He knew that he needed the wisdom of his counsel more even than the reasons that these things that happen to him. And by the way, when things happen to us, we often desire more to have the reason than we do the counsel. But we really need the counsel. The reason may be a part of the counsel, but sometimes we don't get the reason. And so we need to be able to wait. And we need to have God tell us the truth, unfold the truth to us. So Job needed to entrust himself, that is, to his faithful Creator, in doing what was right. And he was doing what was right. But in this one particular instance, he was justifying himself more than he was God. And God knew that Job was a man of integrity, a man who was blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. But Satan behind the scenes, as I've said, was trying to disprove Job's integrity. And we need to understand that God's wisdom and what he permits in the lives of his people is always intended to reprove the accusations of the devil. And to bring forth his people as gold, refined by fire. Even the holiest of men, this is the case. So God knew that Job needed to learn more of his ways. He needed to learn how to justify God even more than his trying to justify himself in this horribly difficult situation which had come to him, that of losing his children, his possessions, and his health, not to mention the approval of his wife and his friends. And God would use a younger man to begin his counsel to Job, and this was Elihu. And Elihu knew that there were, as it says here, as Matt read to us, there is more to be said on God's behalf. Oh, dear Christian, will you not remember that there's always more to be said on God's behalf? Always more to be said on God's behalf. Rita? Well, we need the preceptive will of God at all times. The things that God has commanded us to do. We need that. And that's his counsel. That's a part of his counsel. We also need wisdom by the Spirit to our mind and heart in connection with the truth of the Word of God, all the promises and precepts and principles. And we need that more than to know the reason why. We may not get the reason why right away, and we might not get it all of our life if it's that difficult. I mean, God is sovereign over those things. In the revelation of not only truth, but also the reasons why certain things happen in our lives. And he can, at any time, give us that reason. But he wants to do things in our heart and life so that we will justify him. That's the truth of what Job had to learn. That we also would justify him. And that we would pray, again, that we would... And we would ask God for the wisdom of what we do need to know to do his goodwill in the various situations that we're going through. Michael, did you want to say something?
I think at least we can have a tendency, I think, to be so focused on what the reason is that we miss the lesson.
Amen. Amen, that's good. So focused on it, the reason that we miss the lesson. Excellent. And the lessons God will teach us, won't he? He's faithful. He's faithful. And sometimes that takes some time. It's not going to necessarily strike us right away of what we need to learn. And that's why the whole book of Job is 42 chapters? Yes. And God finally himself had to take over from Elihu in this whole thing. But But notice that in 36, where we were reading there, he says, there is yet words to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words are not false, for one who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Now that seems very presumptuous for him to say such a thing, doesn't it? One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. But you see, what he was intending to do was to justify God. And he knew that he couldn't err in that regard, in justifying God more than man, all the things that God does and shows forth his wisdom. And so to that extent, he was perfect in that situation in knowledge. He wasn't absolutely perfect, but he was perfect in that situation in knowledge with them. And God is mighty, he says, but he despises no one. Isn't that? Oh, I love that. I love it. You stop and think about our calling, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. And yet, here it says that God despises no one. In fact, he works with every single person on this earth in accordance with their works, it says. And in accordance with what they know. And in accordance with what they are learning. And he interacts with them over all these good things, teaching them, teaching his people, most specifically. I mean, the wicked and those who don't know him, he teaches them too, but they don't want to learn. They don't want the knowledge of his ways. And we don't want that. I don't want this man to rule over me. So they don't want the knowledge of God's ways. But you and I who know the Lord, we want the knowledge of his ways. We want the wisdom that comes from him. And we want to grow in it. And we want to learn the good things that he would teach us. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear you. Don't let my heart be divided between the world and my own fleshly thinking and your good word and your spirit working in my mind and heart to teach me the truths that I need to learn. So you can see here that that God is mighty, but he despises no one. And that should be a great encouragement to us here this morning, that even though God is so wise and powerful, that he despises no one. He's well able to minister to you on your particular level. He created you. He created your mind and your heart, your body, your soul, your spirit, all of these good things. And he is able to minister to you very specifically in and through his word in terms of truth and by his spirit when you cry to him for wisdom. Wisdom and counsel are from God. Jeremiah chapter 32. We could turn over there just for a moment, and then I'll close just a little bit after that. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 to 19. Who would like to read that for us? Who's got it? Michael? Mm-hmm. Can you read on to the end of verse 19 for me?
And the outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquities of the fathers and to the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. You are great in counsel and mighty in your work.
Yes.
For your eyes are open.
Amen. Thank you for reading that, Michael. Now, you'll notice that the same thing is said here that's said in those last chapters of the book of Job. How was it that Elihu and God set forth God's ability to be wise, that God's wisdom and his ability to give wisdom concerning the situation that Job was going through. It was through the creation, wasn't it? And all these different things are said about the creation, you know, snow and wind and hail and rain, and then all the creatures that he made, Leviathan that plays in the water. And yet he's so fierce, you know, and he's got these scales like armor, and they can't penetrate it with the spear and all the rest of it. I just, these are the ways of God, he says. But here he says, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There's nothing too hard for you. Know how we need that this morning, to see how God can work in our lives and situations that we're going through and difficulties that we face and distressing things that are hard for us to understand. And he says, you show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, you are great in counsel. There it is. And mighty in work. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Well, I hope that these words will encourage you this morning of the great wisdom of our God. Let's pray together. Father, we know that nothing is too hard for you. We pray that you will come to every heart here present this morning and every mind, that your counsel would be sufficient, the counsel of your word, the counsel of your spirit in connection with your word, and your counsel of your spirit speaking to our hearts in relation to the situations that we go through. We pray that you will give us peace, ruling in our hearts. We pray, O Lord, that you will bless us with a good understanding to trust in you as the only wise God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.